When I was young, I wanted so much to be a warrior. That was all I wanted. You know, when you're a little boy, sometimes you try on uniforms until you find one that fits. I wanted to be a warrior so bad. And you know, when you're young, you think probably what you're thinking right now, a warrior is somebody who kills. Think what you want. The Bible says there's a time for everything under the sun. I just thought killing was all the time. So I wanted to learn to fight and work out and shoot guns and knives and build fires. And I mean, you know, you got to be hard to kill, you know, when you're a warrior. But when my life fell apart and I had to fight for my family, I learned that being a warrior is not about what you'll kill, it's about what you'll die for. You didn't hear what I just said. Some of you have been wanting to kill your enemies, outsmart your enemies, outfox your enemies, outwork your enemies. You fighting the wrong kind of battle, son. You need to start looking around and say, not who can I defeat, who can I give my life for? Did you hear what I just said to you, Gate Church? When you want to be a mighty one, before we go any further, we got to understand this. It's not about who we're fighting. Because the scripture says that our enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Them boys has already been defeated. So sometimes you ain't got to worry about the war. Sometimes you need to be worrying about, who do I love enough that I'll give my life for them? Some of our marriages may not be having the breakthroughs that we want because we're trying to fight our spouse instead of die for them. You didn't hear what I just said. Sometimes our children run away from us because we're trying to fight them and overpower them and intimidate them instead of saying, baby, I will die for you. There's some mama bear should have been cheering me on right there. I know some of y'all in here, y'all would straight drag somebody through the parking lot if they tried to put a hand on your baby. Being a warrior is not about what you'll kill, it's about what you'll die for. Your life takes on meaning. You start to experience real life when you find something you'll die for. Let's look at this first warrior whose name was, he was called Adino. In verse 8, it says, he killed 800 men in one engagement. Now, here's kind of what I believe. To kill 800 men in one engagement, he's either insanely confident. Have you ever looked, you ever been outnumbered 2-1 on the street and said, okay, let's get it on? No, you didn't, because you knew I'm outnumbered. This old boy right here is outnumbered 800-1. So he's either overly confident or maybe he started a battle that he thought he could win, but then next thing he knows, the enemy keeps coming. And I find that to be a far more likely scenario for Mr. Adino is when he began that engagement, he thought, yeah, I might could take on about 20 of them boys, but he outfoxes them and beats them, but next thing you know, here comes 20 more, and then there's 25, and then there's 30 and 50 and 100. Next thing you know, he's exhausted. He's played every trick in the book, and he's killed 800 men. Do you know what I feel when I read about this man? What do I think about if I want to be a mighty one like Adino? You got to be confident. Let me tell you something. When you're outnumbered 800-1, sometimes you got to pick your britches up a little bit, make sure your boots is on real tight, and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Mama might not believe in me. Daddy might not believe in me. My boss may not believe in me. The hood may not believe in me. But I believe that God is on my side. I'm going to face the battle. I'm going to pull out my sword, and I'm going to work. I'm going to put in some work on some Philistines today. Some of you might be intimidated or afraid about, I don't know how to start a business. I don't know how to be a businessman. I don't know how to be a good husband, a father, a mother. I don't know how to do these things. You need to remember that God has called you and made you to be more than a conqueror. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and say, today is my day. I am the one that God has picked. Can't nobody they love her like me. I'm the man for the job. Sometimes you got to look at them little babies and say, there is no man on this planet that can love, protect, and provide them babies like me. Ain't nobody helping me preach over there. Sometimes you got to be confident. I have what it takes. I can do it. God has called me. This is my time in history. You might be the janitor at your place of work. You push that broom and you say, this is my battlefield. This is my 800 Philistines. I may have started on the bottom, but you can bet this one thing, baby. I'm not going to be here long because I am confident that God has placed me right here. Oh, there are some of you, there's a song in you, there's a word in you, there's a book in you. You need to pick yourself up and say, I'm going to sing my song. I'm going to declare the word. I'm going to speak the prophetic word. I'm going to become the man or woman that God has called me to be, because he's not a respecter of persons. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should repent. If he said it, he will do it. Pastor Kathy, I'm so glad you're here today, because you're going to get to help me preach today. Let me catch my breath. I'm out of shape. No, really, just I preached like 10 hours yesterday, so I'm just kind of tired. Pastor Kathy, pastoring and shepherding our church, oh my goodness, such faithfulness and dedication to the Lord. And in prayer, she felt the Lord saying, it's Holly and Jordan's time. So her and Pastor Lonnie come to the house. We think that you and Holly should pastor the gate. You want your pastor to be real for a minute? Whew, I was scared out of my wits. Because I'm not a businessman. Ain't nobody helping me over here. I'm not a businessman. I ain't got no problem being in the shadows. I love keeping sheep. I'm not trying to win medals or accolades. I really do. I trust in the Lord. He sees and he knows. So much freedom right there. And then, you know, I start thinking about some of the greatest communicators on the planet have stood and preached right here where I'm standing. And I go, I'm from Hiawassee, Georgia. I cheated my way through high school. These people, master's degrees and PhDs and around the world, God, I'm a nobody. Are you feeling me? And I love the people enough to know they don't deserve to be shortchanged or left behind. They don't deserve the last card in the deck. They don't deserve the B team. This congregation deserves God's best. They need the best. And I'm just saying, God, I don't know about all this now. So I called a man named Les Bolin on the phone. He's a father in the faith, and I believe he carries an apostolic mantle on his life. He has great, tremendous authority in the Spirit. I was expressing myself to him, and he got real quiet. If you don't know him, he's quiet, and he's very selective with his words. He's not an over-communicative guy. But this is what he said to me. I was sitting in the parking lot right out here, and he said, son, the Scripture says in Hebrews 10:38, and the just shall live by faith. Because God speaking, my soul finds no rest in a man who shrinks back. And he said, you've been living by the first half of that verse. It's time for you to live by the second half of the verse. He said, I know in my spirit, this is your time. This is your assignment. Get out of the shadows. Stand up. Pick your head up. Find your voice. Step out and trust God. Because God is not satisfied when he's in heaven saying, step out. Step out. Step out. I want to use you. 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 And you say, oh, no, Lord, I'm not worthy. He says, my soul finds no rest in that. Somebody needs to listen to me. Your faults and cheap humility has kept you a prisoner in the shadows, and God is in heaven saying, when you're really humble before me, you know that it's God doing it, so you can step out in confidence. The same God who helped me kill lions and bears will help me kill a giant. There ain't nobody listening to me. Don't you shrink back. When your time comes, we got to move quickly. The second man Eleazar. I'm telling you what, I love this so much. Oh my God, I could do this all day. This is what it says about Eleazar. First man, he killed 800. He's bad. He's bad. But what did Eleazar do? It says that David and his army was arrayed against the Philistines. There's about to be a big battle. And for whatever reason, whether they were outnumbered or outmaneuvered, the men of Israel became afraid. But it says that David, oh my God, I love it so much. David stood his ground. And a few of his mighty men looked around, and I'm sure they felt what all the rest of the man who ran felt. But sometimes you got a different spirit up in you. Sometimes when you look at somebody who's got real courage, sometimes you got to look and say, if they got courage, I can have courage too. So he might have killed a giant. I had never faced a giant in my life, but the giant killer is standing his ground. I think I'm going to hang around with the giant killer. Let me tell you what Eleazar did. Oh, this is such a great truth of life. You can't wait until the battle comes to determine whether or not you're going to be committed. I believe that Eleazar had already decided before the battle came, wherever David goes, that's where I'm going. If my king stands his ground, I'm going to stand my ground with him. If he fights, I'm going to fight. If he's hurt, I'm going to be hurt. If he's broke, I'm going to be broke. If he's blessed, I'm going to be blessed. Sometimes you got to commit yourself before the battle comes. Oh, ain't nobody listening to me. When the battle came against them, Eleazar stood his ground side by side with his king because he was committed. He was committed to the point that, king, we outnumbered really bad right here. We might all die, but if you die, king, I'm going to die with you because I'm committed. There are some marriages in this room. There are some men. You need to get that Eleazar up on you, and you need to look at that woman and say, you may not be perfect, baby, but I am sticking with you no matter what comes. Whether we're broke or whether we're rich, in sickness and in death, me and you are going to stand together. There are some women, Eleazars, up in here that you need to quit cursing that man, condemning that man, nitpicking that man, and nagging that man. You need to look at him and say, you might be busted, but you're mine. So I'm going to get committed to you. I'm going to help you raise these kids. I'm not going to judge you and condemn you when you act like your daddy. I'm going to call the king out of you. Ain't nobody helping me in this Pentecostal church. You got to believe that the people in your life are your ticket to greatness. You may tell you something that pastors talk about on Monday morning when y'all all go back to work. We can't hardly get people to come to church no more. Did you know that statisticians try to tell us if you get people to come to your church once a month, you ought to be happy? I might be 36 years old, but I was raised by my granddaddy, and I got enough old school in me. Once a month ain't committed to nothing. I wish some old school saints would help me preach for just 5 more minutes. When it comes to the house of God, our connection between heaven and earth, the place where we make a place for God on this planet, it's going to take more than once or twice a month when it's convenient. I believe God is raising up mighty men and women. He's bringing back the mentality that when the doors are open, I am there. When it's time to worship, I'm a worship. When it's time to pray, I'm going to pray. When it's time to preach, I'm a preach. And when it's time to give, I'm going to give because I'm committed. I'll give when I got it, and I'll give when I ain't got it because I am committed to the house of the Lord. I love you enough today to tell you the truth. The problem that we have in the North American church is that we shop for voices. And Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and Twitter, whatever it is now, is loaded They're loaded with preachers that they ain't no more called than that speaker right there. They read somebody's book. They hadn't lived it. They hadn't walked it. There are some people, they're fleecing you through the internet. They're telling you what you want to hear so they can cash a check from YouTube. I believe God is raising up voices in your life that you can be committed to, that you can say, this guy's not my pastor, counselor so-and-so, radio host so-and-so, Joe Rogan podcast is not my pastor. You need to be believing God that if it ain't me and her, God's going to bring you a voice that you can be committed to, that you can say, when they speak, God is trying to get into my life. We're a mile wide and an inch deep because we're not committed to the people that God has placed in our life.